Luke 6, 48. Well, let's start in 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. I think we've studied all that. Well, we didn't start to look at rock. Rock is Petra, and it means bedrock. You have to make sure that your foundation is on the bedrock. There's no other foundation for which you have your identity. So let's look at a few of those. Let's start in Romans 9. This is the one verse that's throughout the scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Where are you reading from? Yeah, where are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Romans 9, verse 33. Just one verse. Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This is, it's so unbelievable that this mystery of Christ is a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. Let's go to Psalm 118. This is, we sing this all the time, but let's read verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in unto them. I will praise the Lord, this gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me. Thou art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. No. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now, why does it say they drank of the rock?
Hmm?
Well, that's the rock that was giving the water. God had said, speak to the rock, and then Moses, instead of speaking to it, hit the rock with a cane. And because of that, he didn't enter the promised land as alive. From your very moment of self-awareness, the nature of man is that he is searching for worth. Remember, we've talked about whatever you eat is what gives you sustenance and satisfaction. What you drink spiritually is what gives you worth. And that worth is the mystery of the wine. But think of all of the... Can you remember when you were a kid trying to figure out who you were? Trying to figure out something that gave you worth? It all failed. Let's look at Revelation 6. Now let's not go there. Let's go to 1 Peter. Verse 5. You also, as lively stones or alive stones, are built up a spiritual house.
Chapter
2, verse 5. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and promise and precious, and he that believeth in him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's see if we can see more about what that rock is. Let's go to Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say you that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, or thou art this rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now, is it the Catholic Church believes that that rock is Peter? Protestant church believes that the confession of Peter, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," is the rock. It doesn't matter. I mean, the point of it is the confession is the rock. And for you to say, or for anyone to say, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God," then you are in the days of Messiah. Everything's exactly as it should be. Everything is finished. You own all things. All things exist for your sake. So can you say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God"? You can say it with words, but can you say it with your life? Now, again, it's so wild. Every one of the ancient cultures, from this stuff we're studying of the stars, every one of them had a virgin birth. And the one who was born from the virgin would suffer and die and be resurrected. It's in the Indian culture, it's in the Egyptian culture, it's in the Persian culture, it's in the Chaldean culture, it's in the Babylonian culture, it's in the Mexican culture, it's in the Chinese culture. This was all of them had that as the original meaning of the stars. And what happened? Slowly but surely, the mystery of the universe became fables. And the Sabbateism, which means that you start worshiping the thing that's the type instead of the reality. And so it slowly, and you can't, you start out having two gods, but you can never, they multiply rapidly. The question is, how many gods does our culture have? How many value systems that we think are important does our culture have? In India now, because it's just gone down. In India, there's over 3 million named gods. Go over here to the, what's the name? Kalachandi? Kalakanjis or whatever it is. Go into that temple room. There's gods everywhere. Yet originally, it was one god whose seed of woman was, he was born of seed of woman, was born from a virgin. I think it was Krishna, if I remember right. In Egypt, it was Horus. In Persia, it was something else. In Babylon, it was something else. They all named a different one. But it was all the same. It all came from the stars. Anyhow, that's enough for that. Let's go back to Luke. "But he that heareth," verse 49, "He that heareth, but he that heareth and doth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The word "heareth" is akuo, and it means to understand what is said. Again, "doeth" is that word that means a tree producing fruit. The stream is it's a torrent of water. It beats vehemently. It means to it break by dashing against. My house, before I was a believer, was built, believe it or not, on my what I thought was intelligence. That was my identity. And it fell violently. But everybody has a, you had a house that was built on something. You had a value system that was built on something. And it all had to, the streams had to come against it. And then what happens? Anybody know what I'm talking about? No, I think yours was family. Well, you know what yours was?
Self-image.
Image of what?
The generic image. finding worth in my peers' acceptance or non-acceptance of me versus versus the Father. Basing my worth on the success or lack of success I had and how that affected my relationship with my father.
This word heareth is interesting. Let's go to John 9. This is again when Jesus is in trouble with the Pharisees. Verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, but as for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that you know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes." This is the blind guy. "Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that a man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." Then they answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin. Dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. And now in verse 31, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Let's go to 1 John and get look at it better. 1 John 5. Verse 13. Well, let's go up a little earlier. Verse 9. "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth in the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so this word hearing applied to God. But if he hears the prayer, by definition, he answers the prayer. Now, what we can't accept is that no is an answer. Because our minds say if we pray for something and we don't get what we pray for, then we think that God didn't hear us. But the opposite is true. He heareth, and he said no. It's axiomatic, if you will. Let's go to one more. I'm not about something else. Let's look at this beat vehemently. Let's look at Luke 10.
Say that again.
Luke chapter 10. This is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Verse 25. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? And how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Now, everybody remember that that's in the Old Testament. It's Leviticus 19:18. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now the word wounded is the same word beat vehemently. It's to break by dashing against. So the answer, did you ever settle in your mind who is your neighbor? Did you ever settle in your mind who is your neighbor? No, we just read this. And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? The question is, who is our neighbor? What do we learn from all of the New Testament about who our neighbor is?
Well, I think it's anybody in need.
Yes. But you don't go searching for need. You meet the need of anyone that comes into your pathway, your life. But that doesn't mean that becomes a cause. You understand? Let's just read the rest of it real quick. He left him half dead in verse 31. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went up to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed to look, he took out 2 pence, and he gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinketh thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he answered, the Pharisee answered, and said unto he that showed mercy on him, and then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. But the Samaritan didn't start a ministry to meet need. You understand what I'm saying? There are no causes. You simply live, and whatever is brought into your life, you meet the need as best as you can. But you don't decide then that's a cause. Anyway, that's enough. We'll start in Luke 7. We finally finished Luke 6. We've only been there 5,000 years. Okay, we start Luke 7. The creek don't rise tomorrow. Take it, big guy.